Hafidei Faith Church, and welcome to our Sunday message. For today, I will mostly be in the book of Joshua. The title of my message today is Lessons in Moving On. And this is actually kind of a redo of a message I shared with the church about 10 years ago when Pastor Neil left for the state of Washington and we went into our pastor search process. And here we are again, as Pastor Tom and Rose have left, beginning their retirement in the States, and again, we're in the pastor search situation. So let's see if we can learn some things about moving on from one situation with our pastor to the transition, and then to the day when we'll have a new pastor. So from the book of Joshua, hopefully some lessons in moving on in our message today. First to Joshua chapter 1 and the first 10 verses, or make that the first 9 verses of chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The reading of God's word from Joshua 1, the first 9 verses. Lesson 1 in moving on, as we are in this period of one pastor has left and will be seeking another pastor, is to fully acknowledge the change and remember who is in charge during that process. So first, we fully acknowledge the change, as in the first chapter of Joshua, where God says point blank to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And you read in the parentheses there, or between the lines, Joshua, Moses was great, but he's gone, and it's time to move forward. Now, Pastor Tom and Rose did not pass on. They just moved. They retired and moved. And we're not talking the same as Moses' situation exactly, obviously. But within the context, I think it applies in terms of trying to learn some lessons. There really was no one like Moses. So now that he is dead, there would be reason for the Israelites to wonder, and Joshua in particular, can we move forward? Can we continue as God's people without Moses? The description of Moses in Deuteronomy 34, you talk about big shoes to fill. Deuteronomy 34, verses 10 through 12. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. In other words, good luck, Joshua. This is the man you're filling in for. And the people mourned for 30 days for Moses, a mourning period for a great leader. But then, when God talks to Joshua, he has this blunt statement, Moses, my servant, is dead, so now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River. In other words, Joshua, yes, Moses is gone, great leader, but the Israelites will move forward. My plan does not stop just because Moses physically is gone. So with our Situation Faith Church, with Pastor Tom gone, and we're just starting the search process for a new pastor, we fully acknowledge what has happened. We absorb that. We have a little grieving period. We did that partly in our saying goodbye virtually and then in the parking lot. We did our best with the situation we had to say goodbye to Pastor Tom and to Rose, not the way we would have wanted, but that was part of a little bit of our grieving process, you could call it, to be able to say goodbye, to acknowledge the time that they were here, about 7 years of good, solid ministry, very involved in our church and in the community. They'll be greatly missed, but we acknowledge that there is a change. God is saying, Pastor Tom's no longer here, Tom and Rose no longer on the island of Guam, and we also remember who's in charge, that it is still the same God who led Moses, the same God who led Pastor Tom and Rose out here in the first place about 7 years ago, and the same God who continues to be in charge as we get into the pastoral search process. Secondly, moving on does take courage. That is the word that is repeated over and over in Joshua, and even in the passage in Deuteronomy, there's some charges to Moses and to Joshua where the word courage pops up as well. Backing up to Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 and 8, this is Moses talking to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And that sounds very similar to verses 6 and 7. In the first chapter of Joshua, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and then continues in that verse. But a lot of talk about courage. So moving on takes courage. And that's the charge to our leadership here at Faith Church and our whole congregation, our whole faith family for that matter, the courage to move on, to be feeling a little sad that Pastor Tom and Rose are gone, but have the courage to move on, to understand that God's still in charge, and there are things this church still needs to do for myself, for yourself, for each other as our family of faith, what we do in Guam itself, and reaching out perhaps even past the island itself, that God still has things for our ministry, for our church. So we fully acknowledge the change. We remember who's in charge. Remember that moving on takes some courage. And then that it's a new situation, but it is the same God. He's the same one that was with Moses, that will also be with Joshua, that will also be with us. Familiar verse in Hebrews 13:8. Says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Joshua 1:5, backing up to that again, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I, God, was with Moses, so I will be with you, Joshua. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it's a new situation for Faith Church. It was for Joshua, but it's the same Yahweh. It's the same God that is still in charge. In 1 Samuel 15:29, Samuel is saying to Saul, the first king of Israel, he who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. We can rest assured, as Hebrews also said, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he's not like a man. He's not like any of us who change our minds pretty readily. Sometimes difficult to understand why or when we change our minds. But God does not. He is not a man that he should change his mind. He still has the same mindset, if you will, for Faith Church, that there is ministry for us to do. regardless of who our pastor might be. Now, it's important who's here as pastor, that's for sure. But the message of God, the gospel, the mission of our church continues forward regardless of whoever might happen to be the pastor. So it's a new situation, but it continues to be the same God. Listen to verses 16 through 18 of the first chapter of Joshua. Then they, the people, answered Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Now, we're not going to put anybody to death who maybe doesn't obey all the way during this process at Faith Church. We're not going to be quite that adamant, but we do expect all of us as a church family to strive forward, to try to be on the same page, to be obedient to God's call, and to whoever God brings to us as our new pastor. When God is described in the Old Testament, even sometimes in the New, he's often called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And why is that done that way? It's a three-way reminder that Yahweh is a God who keeps his promises, kept his promises, his covenants to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Every time God makes a promise, he follows through. And he is saying to Joshua, and I think also to us, that we need not be afraid or discouraged, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Next, and this is one that's a little challenging at times, is to take care of sinful behavior. And I'm pulling that from the 7th chapter of Joshua, the situation with a man named Achan. And some of you remember the story with Achan, the situation that the Israelites had just taken down Jericho, where they marched around the city, they blew the trumpets, they shouted, and the walls came a-tumbling down, as the song says. So this great victory over Jericho, they had the spoils of war, and this man, Achan, took a robe and some gold and silver. He basically stole it, items that were considered what the Bible says devoted to the Lord. That means either they would be destroyed and not used at all, or they would be saved for worship, but they were devoted to God. No one was supposed to have it in their personal possession, but Achan decided he really liked the robe. He wanted a little gold and silver on the side, but he was found out, and he and his whole family were killed. You think pretty drastic, but that's how God deals with sin sometimes. He wants to make sure people understand just how absolutely seriously he takes this issue of sin. And the result of the sin was that they lost, after they had this great victory over Jericho, they lost to a little town called Ai, capital A, small letter I, we just pronounce it sometimes Ai, a very small village, small town, but they lost in a battle. They had them outnumbered. The Israelites had Ai outnumbered. Ai won. And Joshua went to the Lord and said, "What's going on, Lord? I thought you were behind us. I thought you weren't going to leave us or forsake us." And he says, "Joshua, there is sin in the camp. Root it out." And in the context for us, I think as we go through this process, as we look for a pastor and our search committee does its work, and our elders and deacons try to do our best to lead the church at this time, that if there is sin, if there are disagreements, especially strong ones within our church family, we need to address that. We need to make sure that we keep short accounts with God, but also short accounts with each other. And if there's more serious sin during this process, if something happens, then our leadership needs to have the courage to address it, to make sure that it's dealt with, and to make sure that there isn't underlying bitterness and that kind of root that can eat at a church. So we need to be sure during this period that we take care of any problems, of any sinful behavior, to keep our focus on God and make sure there aren't things that are being a distraction and being hurtful. So far our lessons in moving on have been to First, fully acknowledge the change, remember who's in charge. Keep in mind that moving on takes courage. That includes trust and faith in God, obviously. That it's a new situation, but it's the same God that is involved with us. That we take care of sinful behavior. And next, stay close to God's Word. This is perhaps one of the most important in the list. They're all important, but especially stay close to God's Word. Going back again to Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. That's mention of the Word of God. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Pretty obvious that God feels being in His Word and following it is vital. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 are pretty familiar verses, and it talks about how useful the inspired Word of God is, the God-breathed Word, into the men that ended up writing it. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And we'll need all of those things as we go through this transition period. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You cannot possibly do any of those if you are not regularly in the Word of God. Psalm 119:105, you know this one. His Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Absolutely vital that we are close to God's Word during this time period, individually and also as a church. It's an extra challenge during this pandemic time when we're not able to meet face to face. We try to do some things by social media, through Skype or Zoom or however you're doing that. Sometimes now with smaller groups, as long as there's social distance, we can meet a little bit in person. But it becomes more of a challenge in these days to do that, to stay close to the Word. But there's also that extra time we have at home when maybe we've got fewer excuses, fewer distractions to be in God's Word. So try to take advantage of that, the time that you have, the extra time that you have at home or being isolated, to be in the Word of God. I was talking to one of the men who's in my prison Bible study at DOC, and I was asking him what he's doing to keep from going stir crazy, because it's hard enough to be in prison, but then also to have the additional lockdown where they can't be out of their cells very much, and they don't get visitation right now, either from family or from volunteers like myself. And it's been that way since mid-March. And he said, well, Brother Jeff, I'm memorizing the Word of God. And he proceeded to quote the entire Psalm 91 to me, because I said, can you give me an example? And I thought he was going to do like a verse or two, but he did the entire Psalm 91 for me. So that's one thing we can obviously be doing, is memorizing God's Word, but just be in it and be studying. Maybe do it with people over Skype or Zoom to have Bible study. I know some of our cell groups are meeting that way. We have a Tuesday prayer that way. But to make sure that the Word of God continues to be a focus throughout this transition period that we are dealing with. And then these words for our leadership, our elders, I happen to be one, and our deacons. These are words we need to listen to from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 15. Now, he's talking to Timothy, but could be talking to our church council. You then, my son and daughters, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. And then verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So that's what your leadership needs to be doing. We elders and deacons need to be focused on the Word as well, making sure that what we learn we're sharing with others, that kind of thing. making sure we are doing wise decisions in our meeting time, and especially the search committee. I'm sure they're praying constantly for wisdom as they begin this process. And then lastly, in our list of lessons and moving on, let God lead into the future. Let God lead into the future. We go to Joshua chapter 5 and verses 13 through 15. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. God is the one who needs to be leading. Joshua asks him the wrong question. Are you for us or for our enemy? And I love the reply, no. You're asking the wrong question, Joshua. It's neither of the questions you asked. You need to be sure that I am at the head of the line. I am Yahweh. There is no other. Make sure that I am leading as you go through this process from Moses to you and beyond, and for Faith Church from Pastor Neil to Pastor Tom and beyond, to make sure that God is at the head and is leading. Some quick applications as we close. Number one, don't worry. That song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." It's always easier said than done. But the Lord says in Matthew 6 and Luke 12 to consider the wildflowers, to consider the ravens, that he takes care of them. He will certainly take care of us. Seek first his kingdom, and all those other things will follow behind. So as we go through this process of looking for a new pastor, and we'll have a period where we don't have a pastor. It'll be a while. Who knows how long? But don't worry. God continues to lead. Secondly, pray for the search committee. Kim Volstead is the chairperson, and I'm not going to go through the whole list of all the members, but on a regular basis, daily, if I could charge you to do that, daily pray for the search committee, for the process, and that God will grant them lots and lots of wisdom. Pray for your elders and deacons, because the leadership needs to be focused as well. We need to have lots of wisdom as we go through this process. Pray for Kim and Therese Volstead, Richard Liu, Dan Tamada, Doug Gregson, Sybil Chrysostomo, Alice White, John Sayre, myself, your elders and deacons. Pray for us on a regular basis. We will need it. Pray for whoever God is preparing, even now, to be our new pastor. God knew long before we did that Pastor Tom would be the one to be here. So just pray that God, whoever you have in mind, begin to prepare that person, stir that person's heart, that they know this is where they're supposed to be. That would be a really good prayer to start praying. And then lastly, especially with what we're going through right now, please stay in touch with each other. Send an email, make a telephone call, get your mask on and be 6 feet away and maybe do a personal visit. Let the person know that you're coming and that you're going to obey all the social distancing regulations and all that, but maybe even make a personal visit to someone that maybe you're a little concerned about, you haven't heard from them in a while. You know, maybe they're going through a bit of a financial struggle. Maybe you know the husband or the wife hasn't been working because of the pandemic, and you want to help them out, check them out. Also, check with your deacons, because our deacons reach out to families and individuals that are in need. If you're concerned about somebody, get in touch with one of the deacons. Ask if they've had contact with them, and is there a way you could maybe help out as well? There are plenty of things that we can all do during this time to encourage one another, lift one another up, and help us get through this challenging time period, both the pandemic and also our pastor search. We have both of those things going on at the same time. And to close with just some additional encouragement from Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's going to help us make sure that God is the one leading us into the future. I said, let God lead. That's perhaps not the best way to phrase that. We're not the ones letting God do anything. That's maybe not the best phrasing. God is the one who is going to make sure that he is in the lead, and he's charging us to be the good followers. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus during this process. And I can't leave Joshua without perhaps the best known verse in Joshua and one of my brother Betwin's favorite verses in all of Scripture. Joshua 24:15, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the challenge from Joshua that as we move from, in our situation, somewhat similar from Moses to Joshua, to make sure that we're moving forward in your kingdom as your church, that you will help us as Pastor Tom and Rose have left, and we certainly pray for them for this new chapter in their lives in the Chicagoland area, that you will bless them and give them both meaningful things to do in terms of ministry. I know both of them will not retire completely, that they'll want to continue to serve you in different capacities. So we pray for them and ask that you would help them and encourage them and bless them. And thank you for the time that they had with us, the about 7 years that they were ministering here. We're grateful for that, thankful to you for that. And we pray, Lord, as we go through this process of searching for a new pastor, give great wisdom to our search committee, help our elders and deacons to be wise as we lead during this transition time. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to watch over us during the pandemic. Lord, keep us safe. We're thankful that our faith family has steered clear of getting ill for the most part. We are very grateful for that, but we know other families have suffered, especially around the globe. So many families that have been impacted by death of loved ones because of this virus. Others that have been sick and have been very slow to recover have had a hard time just trying to bounce back. So it's affected a lot of people and businesses and churches and communities. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us through this challenging time. Lord, we love you and we ask that you would help us to cling close to you, trust you despite challenging circumstances, to hold fast to you, and that as for our household, we will serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.